maintain a posture of worship. Think about your history with God. Your present place with Him and your future with Him. Thank you, Brett. And it is absolutely beautiful. I am mesmerized by Him right now. I remember when I first fell in love with Lori and we were kids, and it was, you know, y'all have heard me talk about it before. It was just giddy. You know, it's like I couldn't get enough. And everything about her was amazing. You know, stuff that might annoy me now was amazing then. It was cute. And I'm like, now I'm kind of like, you know, really? So. You know, I'd leave her house at 11:25 at night because I had 11:30 curfew, drive 4 miles home, and as soon as I'd get home, I'd call her. What are you doing? She's like, dude, you just left 5 minutes ago. She didn't say that. She's like, oh, baby, I missed you. And I'm like that with the Lord again. Just mesmerized by Him right now, Brett. Once you see Him and tap into Him and touch Him and feel Him, it marks you in your... Once you truly see Him and feel Him and touch Him, it marks you in I like the word undone, because you're undone. You know, when you're undone, you don't have any guard. You don't have any defenses. You don't have any... You're just undone. You're just like a mush. And I've really been pressing into God a lot the last couple weeks, and just, Lord, I just, not in a place of questioning or anger or anything like that, in a place of, God, just let me see you clearly, and let me see clearly, life clearly. Not answers. I need answers, God. Not that at all. And as we do that, it just... I've listened to so many sermons in the last 2 weeks and just been soaking and soaking and soaking and soaking. And He won't let me get out of 1 John and Psalm 139 and those two places. He'll give me just a minute in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. But then He's like, let's get back in 1 John. Because He's love. He's pure love. Are y'all okay? Are y'all okay? I know y'all. You can sit down if you want to. I'm mean. I'm like, no, just sit right there. Don't go sit with your girlfriend. Just sit right there and all that stuff. Are you okay, Tyler? Y'all can tag team if you want to. I know you've got to leave. That's okay. Whenever. Two weeks ago, in here was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. I text, I think it was Marty Sunday afternoon, and I said, that's what church is supposed to look like. And Monday and Tuesday, I was getting texts and emails from people. And you know what they were saying? They were saying, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. And I want to bring some clarity, I feel like. I know James and Nick did a wonderful job last week, but I want to bring some clarity from Papa's perspective. I'm getting where I've got great vision at a distance. I mean, I can spot a mule deer 2 miles away through a spotting scope and tell you if he's a shooter or not. But I have to have reading glasses for something 2 foot in front of me. And sometimes me and Lori will find ourselves in a place where we'll go to a restaurant and it'll be kind of dimly lit. You know, they're setting the mood or, you know, whatever. And I'll be like, did you bring reading glasses, baby? And she's like, no. I was like, dang, I didn't either. And I have a hard time seeing the menu. And so what I'll do is I'll put my phone on flashlight. And y'all just wait. Y'all wait. All the young people were the ones laughing. All the older people were the ones nodding. I got great eyes. I just got 60-year-old eyes. But when I put the flashlight on my phone, do you know what it does? It doesn't change anything, but it illuminates what's there. Doesn't change a single thing, but it illuminates what's there. And nearly always, and I'm speaking in the natural, nearly always, I can see what the menu says or what the check says because I have properly illuminated it. And when God comes in and he said he's light and there's no darkness in him and no shadow of turning or anything like that, and that we're to be light to the world, you know what we're doing is we're really just illuminating who he really is. We're illuminating his true nature. And me and the worship team were talking in the side room before church, you know, 2 weeks ago, was the most beautiful expression of worship. And it wasn't because of our song choice. It really had nothing to do with the songs. It had to do with the oneness that was in the house. But here's where I want to. Obviously, there was great need in the moment. But what happened Sunday, 2 weeks ago, was not because of the great need was there. You had kind of the perfect storm, I guess, if you will. From a sense of there was a great need. So everybody was coming in. We're going to press into God. We're going to cry out to God. You had 20 of us that just got back from Honduras a few hours earlier, literally that night about 11 o'clock. About 20 of us rolled in from Honduras. So we were on a spiritual high from that and just, you know, love fest and all of that stuff. And what we tend to do is we tend to say these moments where everything is beautiful like that is because of the alignment of circumstances. And that's not the case at all, or it shouldn't be the case anyway. God's been challenging me a lot. In the last few weeks, and just kind of blunt, but in an amazing, beautiful way. I personally didn't know Ralex. I'd met her a couple of times, but I know Rick real well. Rick's related to Lori, and we've known Rick since he was a baby. We've hunted ducks together and stuff like that. And the thing that made, oh, getting back to where God's been challenging me. He's like, man, y'all contended real, real, real hard, and y'all pressed in real hard for her during death. And I'm not saying anything to you. I'm just saying what God's been saying to me. He said, will you contend for people in life the way you contend for people in death? Will you be passionate about a person in life as much as you're passionate about them during a crisis? Fair question, isn't it? Well, babe, I'll be as passionate about my 5 healthy grandchildren, my 2 healthy daughters, my 2 healthy son-in-laws as I am about this person that has great physical need. In the way that I engage God concerning their life. Will I do it for you guys? Randy, will I do it for your grandchildren? Not when there's a moment of crisis. Yeah, every one of us will step up in a moment of crisis. But while I do it in the middle of life. I looked at Sunday 2 weeks ago, and as I said, the worship was beautiful, and the thing that made it beautiful was the way that everybody came in a place of oneness. It was beautiful way that people were in the altar praying. It was beautiful in the way that people toward the end of the service, and we got around in a circle and everybody joined hands. That was beautiful. That was worship. That was more pleasing than nailing every note, Madeline. And I want you to nail every note. I want us to pursue excellence. I want us to be good in our craft. But that was more beautiful to God than if we had the ultimate song set. That looked like worship. That looked like singleness of heart. That looked like unity. That looked like love. The First John love. A group of us got together Friday night. We went to a restaurant in Douglasville. There's about 10 of us, about five couples went. And just had a wonderful evening. It was one of those three-hour meals. You know, where you get there at 6:30, you sit down at 6:30 and you leave at 9:45, you know. And the food was good, but the fellowship was awesome and the love was awesome. And we talk about our history with God. We talk about just anything too, but talk about our history with God and where we were and where we are and where we're going to be. And the waitress kept gravitating. You know, wasn't put out that we tipped her well, but wasn't put out that we were a 3-hour table. I bet she told me 4 times her name and to please request her next time we come. She even told me her work schedule a couple times. I don't remember her name. I don't remember her work schedule. I don't remember any of that, but I do. I was noticing the way she kept gravitating. Because sometimes we'd talk and we'd be laughing, and sometimes we'd talk and we'd be crying. And you know what that 3-hour meal was? It was worship. That was worship. Didn't it feel like worship? Felt like worship to me. Didn't it feel like worship, Terry? And I said, it was sweet. You know, and I got some texts this morning. Last night was awesome. It was good, so good. And it's because it was worship. And what I want us to say, guys, is we think that beauty and love that's going to touch the world and change the world and make people walk away, either whether it's a people texting me after the answer that we prayed for did not happen 2 weeks ago the way we wanted it to happen, but people still texting me the next day saying that was beautiful. I got really blessed. I had somebody send me a picture of the kids at school the next day. Some of you probably saw it. I imagine it was on social media and all that. But it was the kids praying together. The kids praying together. They didn't get the answer that they wanted on Sunday afternoon. But there was something that rose up in them, that a need to come together and engage God and pray for each other, for her boyfriend. And I'm like, us as adults, we don't get the answer we want. So you know what we do? We put God at arm's length and we'll say, well, you must not love me because you didn't do what I asked you to do. I told Rick Friday at the viewing, I said, Rick, I have zero answers for you. But I said, we've always loved you and we always will love you, and that's all I can tell you. And that's better than any answer that I think I have. The longer that I go in this journey of faith, it's funny, but I think it is so amazingly beautiful. And please hear my heart in this. The word says, study thyself, study to show thyself approved. I believe as we love him and are mesmerized by him, it will push us into his word or draw us into his word. We'll hunger for his word. And so we'll get in and we'll study and we'll read and we'll do all of these things. But I put less weight on my understanding of the scriptures and the fact that I got it right. So I'm putting my weight on that. Because I used to. Because I got a Scofield King James in there that I preached out of for 30 years. And I can bring that out to you, Brett, and I can show you stuff, and I can almost tell by the ink is fading on some of them and some of the highlighting is fading and all of that. And I can look at it and I can say, oh, golly. Some of it I've scratched out and said, psh, that's Scoobla. And I write something in new because that's my understanding of the scripture now. And I put less weight on my under, because some of it I wrote it out in my understanding in a place of infancy. And God met me there. I meet every one of my grandkids at the level that they're at. And I interact with them on that level. But as they get older, my interactions will be different with them and it will be deeper with them. It won't be any less love, any different love, but it'll be deeper and it'll look different. And so I put less weight on my getting my doctrine right and understanding what the words are, the answers. And I'm putting more and more weight on his love and his peace and his illumination and his understanding. We're talking about our history with God a little bit Friday night in our 3-hour meal. We got talking about Mike Gray. Some of you know Mike, a lot of you don't. He's a mighty man of God. I have the utmost respect for Mike. He passed this past year. I doubt that any of you were there other than maybe, I don't even know if Randy and Terry were there. They weren't. But we were at revival services in Anniston with them, and worship was like insane. And Mike, think tight end, you know, 6'3", good frame. He picks me up, and I'm a 30-year-old man, picks me up on his shoulder and puts me in a helicopter spin during worship. Leah said, I'm sitting there, and I don't remember how old her and Errol were, but Leah said, I'm sitting there, and she said, I'm watching this pastor have my dad in a helicopter spin in worship, prophesying over him the whole time. And she said, I didn't understand or have answers for any of that, but she said it felt right. It felt right in my spirit. And so at this point in my life and where God is taking us, we're putting less weight on having the answers to something and more weight onto the spirit of that's behind it. Does it feel like love? Does it look like worship? Is the fragrance fill the room or fill our lives or fill the dinner table that we're out or the home that we're in? You see, Jesus says, come to me as little children. And when we get to this place of being in His love and releasing His love to the world, the word according to 1 John, I may not even get in there and dive into that. The word according to 1 John said, then the love of God has come to its full expression in us. Its full expression in us. Too often we're what you call a wet weather spring. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say you could say seasonal spring. Does everybody know what I'm talking about when I say a wet weather spring or a seasonal spring? You see it a lot out west in different places. During maybe the rainy season or a season where there's a lot of precipitation going on, maybe a good year, bad year, whatever, then the water will flow. But when drought comes, no water flows. It dries up. What little water that is there in the pockets becomes stagnant, and it'll eventually dry up, but when it's there and it's stagnant, it's not good for anything. And that's us. We'll have moments of crisis, and we'll come running to God, and we are supposed to come running to God. But when we don't get our answer, we're like, psh. Arm's length. Cynicism, uncertainty, doubt. God didn't stop being God for a bunch of high school kids on Monday morning. God wasn't less God to me on Friday night. He wasn't less God to me this morning. See, the thing about a wet weather spring, when it's flowing, yeah, it waters stuff around it a little bit, but it cannot sustain life. There's no aquatic life that can live in a wet weather spring, a seasonal river. Because it's seasonal. No fish can live in it. No aquatic life can live in it. Because it's not consistent. The word says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The beauty of what happened 2 weeks ago was not God's response to us. Listen, this is important. where God said, man, if they're going to press in, then I'll meet them right there and I'll pour a little bit extra out on them. That was not God's response to us. The beauty of what happened 2 weeks ago was us releasing spring up old wells to God that was within us. You said, well, I don't like that word, but the Holy Spirit that was with us, that make you feel better? That's what that was. That's what created that atmosphere. That's what created the atmosphere Friday night where I don't always come back and say when we get through a dinner and say that was real worship. I might say that was good, that was bad, whatever, what took so long. We're leaving. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's nearly 10 o'clock. And it seemed like a moment. You remember the story of Jacob and Rachel when he's working for Rachel? Jacob came in and he fell in love with Rachel. And her dad, Laban, said, Jacob, they've got this dialogue going on. I want your daughter. What's the price? And it was laboring for 7 years for the hand of his daughter. Laboring for 7 years. And here's what the word says about that. It said to Jacob, it seemed like only a moment because of the love that he had for Rachel. Only a moment. Because something sprung up in him. And it flowed out of him. And what the world needs is not a wet weather spring. I go over dry riverbeds a good bit when we're out west. I go over dry riverbeds when we're in Honduras and we go up in the mountains. We go over to, there are two or three dry riverbeds we go through. I've never seen water in those riverbeds, but I know they're a riverbed by the, you can tell. You say, that's a riverbed. I wonder what it looks like during rainy season when it's flooding. But you know what it looks like when it's not rainy season? Barren. Just evidence of what was once there. And that's not what the world needs from the church. The world does not need us to come together in a perfect storm or a moment of crisis and say, whoa, look at how much we're going to press into God. Look at how much faith we got. Keely made a statement after the viewing at Friday night. Keely lives at Randy and Terry's daughter. She lives down in Newnan, Peachtree City area and all that. She talked about, and I'm paraphrasing here. She said, it reminded me how beautiful it was when a small community comes together and they love well. Because you don't get that in a big city. You don't even get it in the size of where she lives. Now, I'm paraphrasing that pretty correctly, right? She said, I missed that. You know what the world needs to see that? Every day in our lives. When we do, as we do life together, that's what it looks like. And our life together looks like worship. The way we work, the way we play, the way we leisure, our hobbies, everything looks like worship. And too often we're a seasonal spring. And he says, spring up, O wells. God wants us to be a tailwater. You know what a tailwater is? A tailwater is a river that flows from the backside of a reservoir. The beautiful thing about a tailwater is the consistency of a tailwater. The temperature never varies more than 10 degrees. I can be standing fly fishing in the middle of a tailwater and it be 20 degrees outside and that water's still 52 degrees. You know what the result of the consistency of a tailwater is? Prolific life. Because of the consistency of the water, everything thrives. The fish are usually 4,000 to 6,000 fish per mile, some places as many as 10,000 trout per mile in a tailwater. You know why? The consistency of the temperature and the oxygen of the water causes all of this aquatic life to flourish. All of the bugs hatch. All of the scuds, they thrive. So you have all of this prolific life because of the consistency of the water. And you know what God wants us to do, guys? Is become so consistent not in our efforts, not in our work, not in our sin management. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way that we love. Jacob, you probably don't give a rat's rear end how if I've got Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 correctly figured out, do you? You just care how I love you and your family. You don't care what a proficient student of the word I am. You don't care if I'm a Calvinist or this. You just care how I love. That is what attracts the world, guys. Everything about 1 John says God is love. God is pure love. That was his letter reminding the church that we get back to the basics of our faith. And you know what the basics of our faith is? Is that God is love. Do we love well? How do I love her? How do I love you? How do I love her? How do I love her? That's what matters. Tailwater. It's tailwater. It's what he wants us to be. It's what he calls us to be. That's what changes the world. That's what changes our lives. I am gonna read one verse to you. I sure do love our worship team. They're tough. I stand a lot. I'll be in the kitchen eating, standing up, and Lord's like, are you not going to sit down? I'm like, no, I'm good. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. That's why 2 weeks ago was powerful. It wasn't because of circumstances, it was because the love that was released. God lives through them. By living in God, listen to this. This is heavy, guys. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us. Its full expression in us. Then he goes on to say, because all that Jesus now is, so are we. In this world, John starts off this letter by calling Jesus the living expression. That's how he describes him. He said he's the living expression. He is the living expression. He's the living expression of what? He's the living expression of God. But then he comes on and he says throughout this, read this. God has not let me escape this for 2 weeks. I pick up my Bible to read, Beth, and I'll read something, and God will be like, right back over to 1 John. John said that Jesus is the living expression. And then he says that God is love. So Jesus is love, pure and simple. That's our gospel that we preach. Bill Johnson says Jesus is perfect theology, and he is perfect theology. Why? Because he is the living expression of Father God. And what is the one thing that Jesus, all of these things, not the 600 and something laws that they came up with. We went from 10 commandments to 600 and something laws in the Old Testament. No man can hold all of those. He said, I came to complete everything. And the way I complete everything is love. So, I don't feel like I'm regressing in my faith. I feel like I'm ascending to a place of more clarity and illumination, where he says, come to me as little children. I ain't got all the answers. You come to me with marriage problems, anybody, I'm speaking hypothetically, you come to me with marriage problems, you come to me with financial problems, you come to me with any relational problems and all of that stuff, I don't have all of the answers, but I do have the answer, and it's love. Well, you say, how does that fix everything? It's enough. You know why we've been successful raising children? One phrase. We've loved well. We have loved well. You know why me and Lori's been together for 40 years now? That's a hot minute, isn't it? 40 years. This year will be 39 of wedded bliss. 42 of being together. We didn't live together. We dated. Okay. Yeah, we're old school. We didn't do that. But you know why I can say that it's better now than it ever has been? And it's always been good. It's not that it went from crap to pretty good. The hope that you have in this. I'll give you all my marriage counseling right now. Everything right now. You know what it is? To love well. Every bit of my marriage counseling. That's it. That's all I got. You want your marriage to be amazing? Love well. But what about this, brother? And what about this? And I Gary Smalley, you know, I go all that stuff. And we can talk about the love languages and all of this stuff and everything. And what's your gift in and all of this stuff and giving and all of that. And that's great. But at the end of the day, love well. If you will honor and love well, it will be amazing. The Bible didn't say for God so had a wonderful master plan that he did all these things. It just said for God so loved. You know what he did in your life? He loved well. He loved well. I set you up for success in your future. Love him well. What did Jesus say the greatest two commandments were? We'd have a little test, Bible quiz right now. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and love thy neighbors yourself. He said, everything hinges on these two things. Is if you love well. If you love well, everything hinges on that. It's the gateway for everything. I don't care how slick we get in church, we're not going to change the world by having a slick church. We might grow numerically, and we've been there. We've been the church that's had to have chairs in the foyer because it was so packed in here. And we've been the church where we come in here and I'm like, where's everybody at? Revival's exciting. But I'll be honest with you. I'd see lasting change coming out of that. But you know what I do see lasting generational change coming out of? When we learn to be a tailwater. And we love well. That's all I got. Crazy, that's all he's got. He said, let's just get this. Let's just get this. Amen. Lord, you got anything? You good? Like you had something a while ago. Let's stand to our feet. Y'all remember the story in the Bible about the triumphal entry when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday? And all the crowds were bringing palm branches and they were throwing them. They said they not only were they taking palm branches, but they were taking their clothes, their garments. I'm not saying they were stripping down, but their outer garments, their coats, cloaks, and all that stuff. And they were laying it in front of the donkey for Jesus to ride in on. Y'all remember that story? Everybody was crying, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. None of that moved Jesus. None of that moved Jesus. He wasn't beaming and saying, wow, look at this. This is revival. Do you know what moved him? When a sinful woman came in and interrupted a dinner party in Simon the Pharisee's house. And she knelt down. And she began to wash his feet with the tears that flowed from her eyes. And wipe them with the hair of her head. Simon said, he's not a prophet. If he was a prophet, he'd know this was a sinful woman. And what did Jesus say? She loves much. He said, you love none, but she loves much. That moved him. Love is what created the atmosphere in the room. I'll fast forward to the supper at Bethany a few years later. Lazarus was there. Jesus was there. Peter, John, the apostles were there. I mean, it'd be like us going to a dinner party with Lou Engle and Bill Johnson and Mike Bickle and some of these guys, and we're not putting them on the same level as Jesus, but I'm talking about some spiritual heavyweights. You know what wowed the room? When Mary came in with a alabaster box. And she broke the box and she poured it over the head of Jesus and it flowed down the beard of Jesus. And eventually went to the feet of Jesus. And she lavished love on him. And some of them said, why was it such a great waste? We could have sold this and gave it to the poor, is what Judas was saying, because he was wanting some of the money. And Jesus said, leave her alone because she's loved me well. Your love changes the atmosphere. Your love sets the tone. It sets the climate. It changes the ecosystem of your world. Everywhere it flows, it changes the ecosystem of your world. Your love does that. You have the power to release that. That's up to you, Beth. I don't care how many good sermons you hear. I don't care what apostles you sit under. I don't care how anointed I am or I'm not. It ultimately comes back to you make that choice. Will I gaze on Him? And me be in Him and Him be in me, so that love's full expression flows through my life. That's what touches the world. Yeah. That's it. That's the answer, man. That's it. We watch the media and we say we're living in dark times. I'm not. Because His light. Yeah, there's chaos in the world. But His love is light. That's what I'm living in. It's what you're supposed to be living in. It's what you're raising your grandchildren. Just soak in it for a minute, guys. Don't rush through this. This love affair thing we got going with God is not it's not fast food. It's a 3-hour dinner. Get out of our linear thinking. Get an Eastern mindset. It's all relational. Isaac, start getting it now. Start getting it now, brother. It's not getting to this destination. I got to get to that point. Remember the quote I threw out there 2 weeks ago? It's not who I become when I get there. It's who I become on the way there. I love you guys. Shiny black boots. Space Jam shoes. That's old school Space Jam. That ain't no LeBron Space Jam. That's Michael Jordan Space Jam. Am I right, Tyler? What makes them cool is when love's standing in them. Best thing about you. It's the best thing you'll ever be. That's the best any of us will ever be. It's full expression. God is love. Amen. I'm going to send you guys out. Y'all have an amazing week this week. I was supposed to tell you I'll be praying for Marty. He preached in, he might be preaching right now. He's preaching in Ohio today. Here's something for you on perspective. We think, boy, it's just, this will tell if you're seasonal or not. Because we get thinking, boy, it's just kind of dry and it's tough and all of that. You know what Marty told me he was preaching today? He said, I'm sharing what great things God's doing at Victory Fellowship to a church in Ohio. We're only dry if we want to be. We're only seasonal if we want to be. You just got to get on the beneath the reservoir. That's all you got to do. If I get beneath the reservoir, then that life flows through me. Through me. So y'all have an amazing week. Love well this week. Love everybody well this week. Not just the people that look like you and you buddy rose with. You love everybody well this week. We'll come in next Sunday and we'll gather corporately together again. I love y'all. Pray this stirred some things in you. Pray it stirred some stuff in you. Let's let God bring it to a fruition, all right? Amen. Noah, you want to bless us with a dismissal this morning? Not a song. Just bless this whole word, okay?
Yeah. Father, I just thank you just so much just for the ability to come in and worship you, God. And I just thank you so much just to do this together with people. And just that I have, that we all have just a house where we come together with the same purpose and goal, God. We might have our differences. We have our different walks, God. But we come with the same goal and the same reason just to worship you, Father. So I pray that we walk out of that day by day, God, that we pick up our cross daily. Let it never be something we just do on a Sunday, God, but let it be something that we surround our lives with, that we center our lives around. So I just pray that. In your son's name, amen.